Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
At the Sunbury Motors Studios mobile today, as we bring you the action from the U.S. Open practice round today. Yo, dog, yeah. Yeah, I'm live. 3:35, are you available? A couple minutes now. Dick Girardi's here. So what we'll do is we will throw on a headset on Dr. Girardi now. All right? And this is improvised radio. We talked about 3:35, but I forgot you were such a hit on Daily News Live the other day, or whatever it's called. Oh, whatever it's called now. Philly Sports Talk. Yeah.
That's correct.
That is correct, he says. A lot of parking.
It's that I can have.
There you go.
Can I talk into this?
Yeah, you know how to handle that.
I do. Oh, how about that?
How about that, Dick? Welcome.
Steve, thank you.
You are taking a different approach than I think anybody else here.
That would be a fair statement. Do not miss news.com, which is our new website, and you can see the story I wrote in Tuesday's paper about my travails in getting here. It took me 2 hours to get to Marion from my house through the flood, and I said I felt like I was at one of those charity tournaments where guys want to take practice swings for like 27 minutes and stay on the green for 15 minutes lining up their putts. I was stuck in traffic. I couldn't move, and story degenerated from there, but this time I'm taking on golf nonsense, including why do they make people sign their scorecards. I did not notice Gary Neal having to sign the box score last night after
he
the first right demolished the Heat. It's just, this sport is just so funny in that way, and I whacked around a few golf writers too who are awfully pompous, and it's just such an outrage that Tiger, he should have disqualified himself because he signed an incorrect scorecard. Why don't the PGA just hire somebody to keep score, Steve? come on. What kind of sport is that?
They have a guy running a scoreboard.
I know.
In a stadium.
Yeah, come on.
In a park.
So, yeah, I will not be taking this as seriously as some. But, yeah, it's a fascinating venue. It's a beautiful day today. Steve and I were out wandering the course with Bob Cooney, who covers the Sixers for our paper earlier, and it's just a beautiful day, but it's not going to be beautiful tomorrow by all accounts when the tournament starts.
And it's supposed to start tomorrow, but the bottom line is you and I think, for example, Woods goes at 114 tomorrow.
No chance.
We can't see him playing.
Yeah, not off the forecast we're hearing. I mean, they're talking tornadoes, thunderstorms, all kind of horrible things. So, yeah, I just wonder what the USGA will do. We'll just have to wait and see what happens, but it just doesn't sound good. It's a shame because they put so much into it. And again, Steve and I, logistics, what it took to put on a kind of a course, and it's just, people's yards with porta potties.
We walked down a golf hollow, or was
golf
it?
Course road,
golf
I believe.
Course something, yeah. Golf course right. road. Right. That makes sense, by the
right.
way.
Yeah.
All right. And except for one holdout, and I believe the mailbox said E. Grinch.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody else's yard was being used, but being used, by the way, with paper exchange.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. USGA probably had to rent the property from the people because, again, the houses, there's no room around the course. It's in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that I assume they rented them from the people, but they're probably making back more than they renting their space out to corporations and other people who have great spots along, say, the 14th fairway and 15th, which we walked up.
Yeah, we walked
through
there.
That's where the golf course drive is, and it's an absolutely beautiful area with $5-10 million homes. And yeah, there was one holdout who just had one of those big fences up there. Keep out.
And it was actually a semicircular driveway. It was fenced one side and
guarded by people with weapons on the other side.
Who looked menacing at us.
They did. And we were just passing by. They were not thrilled to see us, didn't want any part of us, nor did we want any part of them.
And you even had the orange inside the road.
Yeah, I know. That did me no good when I tried earlier to wander down by the 18th to watch Tiger tee off. And they said, I said, this gets me anywhere. I said, not here. I said, okay, sounds good to me. take a hike, pal.
I mean, walking up to him and saying, yo, dog, I found your ball.
Yeah, it wasn't what they were. Yeah, I was looking to hang with Tiger. I was trying to take Tiger and Sergio to lunch the other day at what used to be Chink Steaks, now Joe's, what's it called, Joe's Steaks and Soda Shop, but I could not get close enough to
our cheese steak
summit. Yeah, I was thinking maybe chicken cheese steaks would work.
And we were around Sergio for a couple holes today.
Sergio was playing well.
Yeah, actually, of all the players we saw,
he was hitting it well.
Yeah, he hit it well.
He was.
All the players we saw. Yeah. You also saw your man Stenson.
I did. Henrik Stenson, who did not make my story, that's already been written and filed. But Henrik, I couldn't figure out how to spell his name, so I said he's out. I didn't feel like Googling him. I'd already written 1,200 words. Henrik was not going to make it 1,201.
We also found a spot that you have to work to get to,
but
is a perfect venue.
Sit on a hill to the right of the ninth green. You can look and see the balls coming into the ninth green. Watch them putt on the ninth. You can also actually see a little bit of the tenth, but a panorama straight across the fourth fairway, which is that incredibly long par 5.
628.
You can see the last shots into that, and then you can look across and see the fifth and the second fairways. Right. So that's I mentioned in my story. It'd be a good place to bring binoculars because you're really going to have a great line on four holes
and 10.
Right, 10's right to your right.
Because 10 is going to be one of the more intriguing holes of the week because if the tee box is where it is today, back 330,
good luck.
We did not see a ball in the fairway from there.
We did not.
But if it's up 303, which is one of the proposed locations,
then they got a better shot.
279 to the front of the green.
Well, there you go. I get to get there in four or five shots easy.
Easily. I mean, if we're doing scramble golf.
No, yeah, that'd be good. And I took Steve by the 110-yard par 3 13th, where I have reached it in two many times.
I'm not surprised.
In my many trips to Marion to play golf, of which there have been zero. I was not permitted on the grounds until Monday for the first time.
Dick, any club that would allow you and me to be members?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be in that club.
Probably wouldn't.
No. We were not invited. I think this is one of those kind of places. To be a member, you have to send them a copy of your bank statement, and if it has less than 7 zeros, you're out.
Now, it also
mine has a lot of zeros.
Oh, yeah. It's all in the front. But the other part is that possibly being on the Mayflower helps.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think Waspy is good, better than not. If you're going to be a bee out here, you want to be a wasp. But on the main line, you get off the train and you just sort of, well, actually, you don't get off the train. You get dropped off at your house by Jeeves, the butler.
That's who brought me in.
I knew that. I figured as much.
Now, let's flip over. We talked about the houses on one side.
Yep.
Which they have the rich getting richer because they've rented out their yards.
Yep.
Including one where a platform was built around a tree.
Right.
But on the other side, along 7.
8 and 9.
It's 8 and 9. Yeah, 8 and 9.
Yep.
There are those who have decided that they can have their own private party, not have to pay, and they have a wonderful setup.
Oh, yeah, people have decks out there with bars and a lot of chairs set up so they can watch the players pass by live while they're watching them on television. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool setup, and it doesn't cost anything. I don't know if they're renting it out or bringing their friends or whatever, but, yeah, those houses lined up along those fairways on the far end of the course are pretty neat. That, to me, was the best part of the course anyway, Steve, because there's so many holes over there that you can see so much of. If you're over on the side where we are, we're right next to the 16th where the media center is, you can sort of see one hole at a time. I mean, they're nice holes and all. 17's a good place to sit in the grandstand. You can watch them tee it into the green and then watch them tee off on the 18th if you're in the right spot. But, it's quite interesting. It's fascinating just to see the whole scene.
We also found through extensive course research between Bob, you, and me, we found where the single most knowledgeable fans are that we could absorb knowledge from.
Anybody with a cigar, we found out, knows more about the local situation than people without cigars. We don't know why that is, but it was interesting that we found that out.
We found that out, and it was amazing how the second we found that we kept going.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Because that's us.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I don't need to know this stuff. What
are you gotta look at all this equipment stuff. This is impressive.
Oh, no, I just hit stuff on the side. Right, I mean, you don't think I know how to use this, do you?
No, not really.
I mean, I don't even know if we're on.
Sounds good. I hear you.
Well, I hear you.
Right, we'll just talk to each other. We've done that
before. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
We don't know. So they haven't tossed us off yet.
Yeah. By the way, we saw the plaque on 18.
Ben Hogan wore it. The one iron.
We found interesting was the caddies and the players taking pictures.
Yeah, how about that? Of the plaque. How cool was that?
Ben Hogan's one iron that forced the playoff in 1950, which he won.
Absolutely.
The other part that's interesting here, they've taken a risk by bringing it here.
Yes.
In 19, was it 34? The winning score here was 9 over.
Right.
Hogan, as great as he was, forced the playoff, but the playoff was at two guys at 7 over par.
Right.
When Trevino beat Nicklaus, they were both even.
Right.
But David Graham won here at 7 under par, and the USGA didn't want that.
No, Steve, I think assuming if we're going to get the rain we're supposed to get tomorrow, they could be looking once they clear the course at a minus 15 that could win, because balls aren't going to roll off greens, right? They're not going to roll off fairways. Even I don't know much about golf, but I know that much. Obviously, when it's not hard and fast, it's easier for these guys because they're so good at the ball where they want. And that's really a shame because the course is designed to play hard and fast, which is, you think in the middle of June, that's what you would get. But you know, we had this ridiculous rain on Friday, followed by another ridiculous rain on Monday, and apparently some more coming tomorrow.
Right. In fact, a lot more tomorrow. They're talking about a half inch to an inch and a half of rain here.
No, that's
tomorrow.
Nothing compared to Friday. We had 4 inches on Friday, so it's pocket change.
But one thing we did notice is that when we watched, we'll give you an example, 9, the par 3, 250 down the hill.
Yeah.
Sergio's ball was the only ball we saw hold.
Right.
And that's 48 hours after it rained.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So, I would think by maybe Saturday and Sunday, it could get quick again, because it really was amazing. We went out in some of the fairways and just felt it, and they just had really dried out already after all the rain on Monday and Friday. So, apparently they have drains every 2 feet here.
Right.
They've just put it, that's part of the deal, and they obviously get the water off the course. So it does drain really well, but this is an inordinate amount of rain that they've had over the last couple of days.
Which is crazy, and they're expecting more tomorrow.
Correct.
Again, we think the odds that the afternoon group, we think the odds that the morning group gets 6 holes in.
Right. Yeah, I've heard different, every forecast. It's not going to stop for a while.
Yeah, and that's going to be obviously a huge problem here. Now, they obviously want to get in as many holes as possible.
Right.
The reason being is that it's one thing if you play 36 holes on Saturday, because you've had a cut.
The
field is pared down.
Fewer people, right. It makes it simpler. But, these first two rounds where people are starting on 11 and starting on 1, it's kind of chaotic. Yeah, it's much easier when it's just you're down to, say, 70 players or something.
Right. And that comes into play here. The 628-yard par 4.
Yes.
Par 5. Or par 5, it's a 4. Yeah. There's 18's a par 4, and it's
right.
Only 500.
Right, which is crazy.
628 par 5. The hole's ridiculous in length.
No, you just, Steve, you hit it, and then you hit it again, and you still can't see the green. Or certainly, I could hit it 8 times and not see the green. But, it just goes on for days. And apparently Tiger hit one where he hit his second shot yesterday, went in the bunker in front of the green, which is kind of astonishing. But so you're talking 620 yards worth of 2 shots.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
He hit it down the hill. Now, there's an area that most players can get it to the crest of the hill.
Right.
What he did was he got it to the bottom of the hill.
Right.
And because he got to the bottom of the hill, that left him, I don't know, 270 in or something like
Easy
that.
Easy shot.
Right. And
Yeah. 9 iron.
You and I'd still be out there.
Exactly.
here's the next part. I'm sensing just by our observations and also by the fans around us that there are only a dozen players that these people know.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
And I'm not that I did not say that as a joke.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's and everybody knows the names, and those are the guys that are getting followed. There's a bunch of threesomes and foursomes out here. Nobody's following. They're just practicing by themselves. So I completely agree, Steve. It's look, these are people that haven't seen a PGA or US Open Championship in this area for since what David Graham won in 70, what was it?
81.
81, so 32 years. That would be a long time. Tiger had his tournament at Aronimink a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's only about 10 minutes from here, but that's not the same. That's just a regular PGA Tour event. This is a major.
Right, and because when Garcia came up, people were following. They knew
right. It
was Garcia.
Yep.
But one group after another went by, and you and I have a sheet. We're
right,
looking at the sheet, okay?
Right.
But there was, and there was Williams, and
Brown
was playing alone.
Yep.
And I would think it looked to me like only based on I saw the practice board. It looked to me only like office rounds today.
Okay, a lot of guys were off doing whatever.
Well, Tiger was here
right,
and gone.
He played early. He played 11 through 18. And then he went on, I guess, on the practice screen for a little while. But, yeah, now you're right.
And Mickelson's not here at all.
Mickelson's out watching his daughter graduate from eighth grade.
Yeah, and he should try and get back as quickly as possible.
He'll be back tonight. Yeah.
He better be. It's a 7:11 tee time.
Right. He will be back.
But
a couple hours.
But he skipped his he was supposed to have his press conference yesterday.
Correct.
And he was a no-go.
He bolted. Yeah, I think he thought that they might not have any practice yesterday because the course was so bad for Monday. So, yeah, he got very little. I think he practiced very briefly on Monday. But I do think he was here a couple of weeks ago, just stopped in to play some rounds.
Yeah, Tiger came in, 15 days ago.
Oh, that's right.
Pair of cargo shorts, literally.
Yeah.
Set of cargo, went out, played around.
Some balls.
The first time he'd ever walked on this course.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, that's what makes it hard, Steve. I mean, these guys are creatures of habit, and they know a lot of these courses they've played. This is a course that hasn't been used for an event, PGA Tour event since 1981.
It's interesting because, some people have said when it comes to Mickelson, okay, what's his caring level that he does this?
Right, yeah.
But you know what?
He might come out.
Actually, to him,
made a $500,000 on Sunday, as you pointed out, at the St. Jude in Memphis. So, yeah, which got him gas back and forth to the West Coast on his private plane.
And then there was the story we heard about the chef.
The chef?
The one where one of the players wanted to rent the house.
Right, and the woman said, I'll cook for you, too, part of the deal. And they said, no, we're going to be bringing our own chef. Very nice.
These are people we can't relate to, Dick.
They're the 0.0001%, or as I pointed out in my story, Steve, that will run tomorrow, the Mitt Romney-loving 1%. And their boy is off on his yacht somewhere in the Pacific, I'm sure.
Watching the tournament on a satellite TV.
Right. He's got a picture of the White House up in the yacht.
As close as he got to it.
Correct.
I talked about all the players that a lot of people here don't know. Yet you and I saw all of them hit amazing shots.
Sure.
There's 7 billion people in the world.
Yep.
160 have their cards in this country.
It's really phenomenal. I mentioned the great book, The Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell's book, where it talks about how you get proficient at something. 10,000 hours of practice. Well, these are the walking examples of how you do it. I mean, think about how much practice has gone into how good these players are at this level.
Well, you don't need practice to do the show at Barkan, but I'm going to let you go so you can get over there.
You're the best, pal.
You too, man.
I'll see you hopefully on the weekend. Sometime.
On the weekend. Sounds good, man.
Yeah, I know you're originally planning to come back tomorrow. And
that's not worth it.
Don't think that's worth it.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it, no.
It's a long drive for not much happening.
Not much.
See you, Steve. Have a great show.
DJ, thanks, man.
All right, buddy.
All right. News is next, coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us at the U.S. Open at Marion. Original plan had been to come in here and also work tomorrow as well. But with the weather, as Dick pointed out, with the weather, it's going to be a wasted trip in here tomorrow. I can't really see, based on what they're talking about, and I was just quickly in a USGA press conference, and it's going to be something to determine as play goes along tomorrow. But they're talking about a half inch to an inch and a half of rain. And if there's thunder and lightning, especially lightning, obviously, it's visible. They're talking about thunderstorms here tomorrow. They're going to stop with what's going on. Let's talk about this golf course. And this obviously is an incredible layout here. In the first hole, I mean, it's going to be a dogleg left, or excuse me, dogleg right, right around Golf House Road. And when you look at how this course is laid out, everything is tight here. Yet in the middle of all this, you have a 628-yard par 5. And that's the fourth hole. Tiger Woods evidently is the only one that's played in a practice hole, that practice round here so far. Tiger today played holes 11 through 18 today. And then he went, and he went out early, really early. I mean, I got here at 9:30. I was on the grounds at 9:30 this morning. He was done with his practice round and was on the practice putting green and then left. Phil Mickelson is not here at all. He left Monday, did not do a scheduled press conference yesterday, and this morning was at his daughter Amanda's eighth grade graduation out in the San Diego area. He is coming back tonight. He'd better be, because he has a 7-11 tee time tomorrow. This is a guy who has finished second. Many times in his career, one out of every six times he's been a runner-up has been the U.S. Open. Now you're saying 28 times. He's coming off his 28th runner-up finish. He was second at St. Jude in Memphis. And as Dick and I pointed out in the previous segment, he picked up $501,000 for finishing second. So if you don't, that's not the winner. Back in the 60s, we're talking some ancient history here, but you notice the Palmers, the Nicklauses, the Gary Players played every single week on the tour. And there was a reason why. Because in the 60s, for example, in most tournaments, not every tournament, but most tournaments, the prize winning money was $20,000. The winner got $20,000. Now, obviously, purses have changed. The economy has changed. And so purses are exponentially higher. But they're higher beyond even what the economy has done since the 1960s and early 70s. In the 60s and early 70s, a lot of prize money meant $20,000 to the winner. Mickelson got $501,000 last week for being the runner-up. Not a criticism. I'm all for whatever anybody can make. I mean, look at Kevin. Kevin's used his Swiss bank account to go to the Bahamas this week. But when you look at someone being a runner-up, five times Mickelson's been the runner-up here. Bobby Jones, Sam Snead, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus were second in this tournament four times. So it's not exclusive company to have, obviously, that many runner-up finishes. What's also interesting here is, and I'll get to Tiger Woods in a moment, is, and it's something we showed, it was on stevejonesshow.com, where we showed you the picture of the wicker basket. And today is a windy day here at Merriam. I have to say the wind today is probably in the 20-mile-per-hour range, and there are moments here in the media tent where you can feel it really ripple through here. And you can see it ripple through here. And you can see on the flags that are on top of some of the grand, there's a couple of grandstands here where they have USGA flags. And so you can see there, I mean, the flags at some points were starched. But you don't know what it's doing down by the hole. Why? The wicker baskets. That's the reason why. Because that's what they use here, and it's a tradition that goes back to 18... I believe it was doesn't go back to 1896 when the course started. I believe it goes back to 1912. But that's where it came about. And they've always used them here. If you look at the 81 Open, 71 Open, Ben Hogan's one iron shot, and there's a plaque on 18 to his one iron here. We saw the plaque today. that you really can't judge wind going in. You have to try and find other sources behind the besides the flag as to which direction the wind is blowing and how stiffly it's blowing at the hole. Because you can't do that with a wicker basket. And I mentioned today, I mean, today's been fine. I mean, no problem. But we've seen winds up to about 20 miles per hour today. Tomorrow, though, and we don't know when it's going to start here, but they're talking about heavy rain here tomorrow. Half inch to an inch and a half of rain on a course that's already been saturated. But as Dick pointed out, there are drains all over the place on this course. But if it rains as heavily as they say it, that they could, you know, there are a lot of people here that don't think play is going to, I mean, they'll start tomorrow. How far they get, I don't know. Because they are talking about some severe storms coming through here. And they're talking about especially dangerous, you know, here in the Philadelphia area, dangerous afternoon storms. And that's how they term it. They term it as dangerous afternoon storms. Well, they're not going to be playing in any dangerous afternoon storms. I can guarantee you on that. And I can tell you right now that the course I walked on today, again, I spent a good 2 hours walking the course today. We're going to talk about some of these holes in a few minutes. For the spectators, don't wear your best shoes, okay? They did that for you, sir.
Thank you.
Best shoes. Yeah. You have a tendency to do that. but it's because of the traction areas, there's a lot of mud out there right now. The crosswalk areas are fine, but walking along the side of holes, not pretty. So for people coming down here, I feel bad for you, by the way, if you happen to be somebody that where your day pass is tomorrow. Because they're talking about heavy rain, and I'm trying to take a look at what the hourly forecast is for tomorrow. Let's see. Because I mentioned, for example, Sergio Garcia goes out at, he's one of the first groups out tomorrow. I think he's like 7 o'clock or something like that. Talking about rain here tonight, early this morning at 2, 3, 4, 5. It's going to be raining before they even start tomorrow. 5, 6, 7, 8. Then it clears out for a period of time tomorrow at 9 to noon, according to this. But they already will have had rain on the course. But players will be going out. If this holds the way they say, you know, I don't know. We'll see. They're talking about a flood watch here expires at 6 a.m. on Friday. A flood watch. And that's how much rain they're expecting. Like I said, a half inch to an inch and a half of rain. That's going to be the story down here tomorrow. That's why we had talked about coming down here tomorrow. I've already been advised by people to say, look, there's going to be nothing going on here for a period of time tomorrow, especially when the show's going on. So we'll probably do the show back in the studio tomorrow. But, I mean, they're talking about heavy rain, especially overnight, coming in here. And it is a great setup here. I know we did not take a break in the first half hour. So since I know that, I know we have to take a break now, which we will do right now. We'll take a break, come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We're all looking for ways to save on energy costs.
We can reduce your energy consumption by utilizing energy from the most renewable source available, the sun. This is Tanya Diddy from Lenape Solar, the fastest growing solar company in central Pennsylvania, offering American-made solar panels, solar thermal systems, and PP&L lighting rebate programs. More than that, we give back not just to our local community, but abroad. I invite you to find out more about our Haiti Solar Energy Project and see how you can help by visiting us at LenapeSolar.com.
Welcome back, U.S. Open at Marion. I can tell you right now that the vast majority of players here, fans don't know. It's not a put-down to the fans here. I mean, look, I mentioned Tiger Woods, everybody knows. I mentioned Phil Mickelson, everybody knows. I think Jim Furyk, everybody knows. Certain guys like a Henrik Stenson and so forth, I think people know. I mean, up to a point, Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, obviously. And of all the practice rounds I saw today, Garcia was the best of anybody. Now there's no pressure today. I mean, there's no pressure on him today. I mean, and he was loose. I mean, he was really loose playing today. He was comfortable. He was with Francesco Molinaro, also from the European Tour, which helps. Playing his practice round. They had a little fun on the ninth green where, you know, and one thing you'll see in a practice round, some players will just play one ball. They just want to play one ball. Tiger Woods is a one-ball guy. He'll play one ball and move on and play. But guys will play multiple balls, and usually two. And the average is two. Every once in a while, I'll see three. I saw one player hit three balls in the nine, and felt like he had water. Feel like that. But Sergio Garcia hit the ball that I thought was hit the ball really well was Dustin Johnson in watching him today. And I thought David Toms, when I saw him hit the ball pretty well today. We'll come back, talk about some of the intriguing holes here at Marion in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Golf Championship here at Marion, the first appearance here in 32 years. Why 32 years? Well, the scores will tell you that story. I think we know that the USGA takes great pride in protecting par, and they would like to see the winning score idealistically in the neighborhood of even par. You know, if it's one or two under, okay, maybe three under, or maybe one, two, three over, something like that. What Rory McIlroy did at Congressional, you know, was just everything came into play, and he won. And had it was shot 268, I believe. That's not what they want to see. And the scores here at Marion over the years as the U.S. Open has progressed, the winning score here in 1934 was 9 over par. We have heard so often about the incredible, awe-inspiring one iron that Ben Hogan hit here on 18 to force a playoff in 1950. And yes, I was out on 18 today, and I saw the plaque where he hit it from. It was interesting to watch the number of players and caddies that went up and took pictures of it. And many of them were hitting from that plaque area anyway. And they weren't using one irons. In modern equipment, you don't have to. The winning score, though, was 7 over par. Hogan forced a playoff with that one iron and finished 7 over par. Then they had an 18-hole playoff of the championship, and he won it. Then, when they came back here in 71, 21 years later, Lee Trevino beat Jack Nicklaus in a playoff. But the two players there finished even par, which is what the USGA wants. But then David Graham came back 10 years later in 1981 and one, it's 7 under par. It's not what the USGA wants to see. So it took 32 years to come back. Bubba Watson, Brant Snedeker right now working on the practice range. And Lee Westwood is playing a practice round on the course right now. Lee Westwood, of course, is one of those among the players that would be considered among the best in the world that has never won a major. You can make an argument he is the best in the world that has not won one. Of course, Bubba Watson has won a Masters. Snedeker is another great young player that eventually you think will win a major. But right now on the range, it is Snedeker and Watson, Bubba Watson, while Lee Westwood is actually playing a practice round here at Marion as we speak. We work our way to the top of the hour. We'll have news at the top of the hour, then more from Marion. Our thanks to Dick Girardi for joining us, spending a good half hour with us, talking about some of his thoughts on the tournament, because he is taking a completely different route. It was interesting. Lunch today was Bob Cooney from the Daily News, Mike Jensen, and Dick Girardi, and then John Feinstein joined us today. And, of course, we were all, the five of us were all exchanging, his, you know, a couple of golf stories, but we were all exchanging basketball. Yeah, because Bob covers the Sixers. Mike's done a lot of Temple stuff. John's done everything. And of course, Dick, between horse racing. Although we were on the course today and roaming around the course, and this guy comes up to Dick, and he says, hey, he says, well, he looks at me, and he goes, he looks at me, and he says, wow, Steve Jones is here at the U.S. Open. I said, how you doing? He looks over, he says, hey, Dick's here. He says, I need horse racing tips. It didn't take long to warp to where the paper happens to be, and Dick pointed out that he didn't do well in the Triple Crown races at all, that he went from 10th to 4th to 3rd. And I said, well, that just means in the Breeders' Cup you're going to win. We're at the 113th U.S. Open Golf Championship at Marion Golf Club outside of Philadelphia, where I'm the poorest guy in the neighborhood. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.